This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Around up on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. As always, I'm Grady, and live on Discord, we got Josh.
Hey!
Welcome to the second pre-recorded special episode while Grady is out of the country. Last episode, we looked at the first half of 2026, looked back at some of the best matches, some of the best debuts, feuds, all of those bits and bobs. Now we're going to flip the coin over. We're going to look ahead at the second half of the year, maybe a little peek into 2027. We'll see how it goes. Who do we think next champions are going to be? Money in the Bank contenders. What is Survivor Series going to look like? There's a lot in the rest of the year. We're recording this about mid-June. If there's any factual inconsistencies, I will apologize ahead of time. But I guess that is the easiest piece to talk about if we go with the briefcases, right? We know the pay-per-view's been pushed back a couple of times, but Money in the Bank seems to be set now. Who do we see coming out on top potentially in those ladder matches?
I think that is a serious question. So I think it is going to be indicated of where they want to go. I kind of believe that I think I could see Dominic Mysterio win. I don't know for sure. There's like several people that I could see winning the briefcase. I could see Sammy winning it. I could see maybe Oba, and that's how they get to Oba versus Roman. But I think it's probably going to be strongest on a cowardly heel like Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a solid option. I'm like quickly skimming down the roster list of who I think, because you kind of got a couple options with the Money in the Bank, right? You got a mid-card guy that you want to elevate to the main roster, an existing main roster guy who you just want to give a bit of a storyline to, or you've got the lower card joke option, right, that we've seen a couple of times. It doesn't usually go well for them. My favorite is using it to elevate somebody who's been in the mid-card for a little while that maybe we want to see a little bit higher up the card. Often a cowardly heel, but yeah, I think there's a couple of options here. Dominic Mysterio is definitely a solid one. I think just because we've been talking about Penta getting into that main roster scene a lot, I think he could earn it in a way that's not the Money in the Bank, but I'm not going to be mad if we got Penta with the briefcase, giving him an option to jump in against whoever that champion is on that side of things.
Yeah.
I would want to say LA Knight, but this man wins nothing. He's the new Pin Balor, really. So I just can't put my money behind LA Knight this far ahead, right?
Yeah. It's one of those cases where it's like, are they building LA Knight as the champion against the Bloodline to eventually crown him, maybe. But yeah, I think it's going to be the briefcase, I think, is going to go to somebody who I think will chase after the WWE Championship and not the championship Roman holds. So I think that's why I kind of do put him down on the list, because I think if he wins it, he's definitely using it on Roman.
That's fair. What about instead I take our current United States champion, Trick Williams? Maybe he loses the title between now and then. We're talking strong heels. What about a Trick Willie with the briefcase?
Certainly be fun. I don't know if I would do it, but it would be fun. Personally, I think I'd rather it go, if you're going that level, I'd rather it go on Carmelo.
Yeah, that's fair.
because I think that would work with his gimmick of not missing when he has the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So plus it would be a way to reward him for screwing him out of a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, and obviously we don't know who's going to be holding these titles by the time we get there, right? But another new debut, I'll throw him into the mix, Royce Keyes. We don't know a lot about him. We don't know a lot about his motivations right now. Seems to be beefing with the MFTs, but could this be a breakout moment for Royce, or is it maybe a little bit too soon for him?
I think it would be too soon. That's not saying he won't be in the match, because he definitely could be. But I think he'll be in that spot that the big, powerful guy always gets, like, destroyed at the end of the match and covered in ladders and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that'll be his spot if he's in the match. Because unless Oba's in the match. Because I think unless Oba wins, that's his spot for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1,000%. At some point there in the match, he would be destroyed and covered. He may still win the match, but it will be his spot. But yeah, somebody powerful like that almost always gets buried. And yeah. Then in that case, literally.
So all those options, I'll throw just random names as I'm scrolling down, right? I don't expect these people, but they are. I'll put them as like side options. Your Austin Theories, Bron Breakers, Ethan Page's, but too soon, I think, as well, for him coming up. Javon Evans, again, potentially too soon. Joe Hendry hasn't quite found his footing on the main roster just yet. Seth Rollins, the established guy, doesn't quite need it, but still could get it. Finn Balor, same things that I said about Seth Rollins. Ilya Dragunov, bit of a side piece possibility there. You mentioned Sami Zayn as well. Danhausen? Mr. Danhausen in the bank?
That would be fun. Here's a name that I know you won't figure, because why would it make sense? I mean, sure. After all, he's been, for lack of a better term, cursed for over a year and a half. Johnny Gargano. Maybe that's how he gets his mojo back. By winning the freaking briefcase.
Definitely. I'd put him in that same category as, like, I could see it and I wouldn't hate it as all those names I kind of just read out, but he's not in my top six picks for sure to come out with the briefcase for the men. I don't know if Johnny's...
Say him if I didn't say him.
You're very correct. But yeah, I think it's a bit more open. I think as we get closer to the event and we know who the champions are, I'm not a big fan of it moving closer to the end of the year. I think that it had a good little niche spot in terms of just the timings of everything right now. You know, you have your WrestleMania and you kind of got a bit of a drought. You get King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring that will give you your SummerSlam matches. And now you've got Money in the Bank, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble to determine some of the WrestleMania main events, Elimination Chamber to determine the other of the WrestleMania main events. I think there's a lot happening in that that second part of the SummerSlam to WrestleMania run.
That is fair, but I think actually I agree more with them moving it to where they did versus where it was, because the Money in the Bank was becoming something that was overshadowing the build to SummerSlam. Because of the fact that the briefcase existed, therefore you could not be sure of what was going to go on with SummerSlam. And that always messed with our plans. Plus, it was always also way too often cashed in at SummerSlam.
Yeah, that one's so fair.
So moving it to after it allows you to build that storyline, get the matches you want at SummerSlam, and then when you win the briefcase, then you can decide when you're going to use it, because that not only does it give you more option, it gives you an additional 4 months to play with the briefcase versus where it would have ended in June or July. It will now end in October.
Yeah, I guess maybe directly after SummerSlam. I think maybe the position it was in before it moved the second time would be useful. As you say, you get that clean build into SummerSlam and then put the briefcase on someone, and then we've got that to tell the story through the second half of the year. So maybe I'd bring it a couple of months early, but hearing the reasons, I definitely agree. After SummerSlam does work. Be interested to see, because obviously WrestleMania to SummerSlam is a lot shorter of a period than SummerSlam to WrestleMania. So you do obviously need a few more things in that second portion. We have skipped over a whole lot of the woman potential options for Miss Money in the Bank. I feel like this one's a lot more up in the air. Like, there, if I look at the roster, probably about 30-odd women on the roster, probably about 20 of them could win it, theoretically, depending on who the champions are at that time.
Yeah. I think, for me, there's three options that I think have really strong chances. JC Jane, Jordynne My Grace, top pick. And for Raw, Roxanne Perez.
I love it when I write down notes, and then you, like, read my notes out without reading them.
I think those are the three strongest chances.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we're going to get somebody that's, like, outside of that, Lash Legend is probably my biggest option outside of those three.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I think I had Roxanne and JC as my sort of top two picks coming into this. I think the Judgment Day woman splitting up piece is still floating around. If that hasn't, no, if we haven't had Liv Morgan versus Roxanne Perez at SummerSlam or at any point through there, then definitely see her picking up the briefcase and playing a factor into that. You know, where they'll say, oh, she's going to cash in on the other brand, and then she does eventually cash in on her friend, if that is what the scene looks like at that point in time. JC Jane feels like a person who is tailor-made to carry around a briefcase with the Goon Squad constantly threatening the champion to cash in.
Yeah, and I think that's why she's my favorite at this point in the year. That could change when we're getting up to the event, but I think she is my favorite to win it right now.
Yeah. Jordynne Grace, I'd kind of put in that same category of like a recent call-up who has maybe fallen a little bit by the wayside and needs that injection or that boost back up the card. I'd put her in that category probably with Julia. I know we differ on opinions of Julia, but in Jordynne's case, got derailed by an injury, and Julia's, she hasn't made that connection. In either case, if they did pick up the briefcase, we'll inject them straight back up the card. My one hope for this briefcase is just that we don't get, you know, there's, without counting them, there's like six women who rotate the titles, the top of the scene, you know, your Rhea's, your Charlotte's, etc. I just don't want one of them to win it. You know, I do want somebody a bit lower down, maybe in the women's mid-card scene, who gets the boost. I don't want somebody who's already at the top.
Yep. That's why the last name I'll suggest as a outside option, depending on her health, is Chelsea Green.
Mm-hmm.
We all know I love Chelsea Green to death.
Yeah.
And I think her being the briefcase holder would be money as well. It's just, how healthy will she be up to that point?
Yeah, I think similar to what we said about JC Jane, right? Another character who is tailor-made to carry around the briefcase. And I'd see it. I don't know how I'd rate her chances of winning on cash-in, but someone's got to lose eventually, right? We'll see how it all plays out, but I think the bit more... What do you think? I'm trying to, like, rapidly... We had JC Jane, Roxanne Perez, potential options, outsides, Jordynne Grace, Chelsea Green, on the men's side of things, maybe a Trick Williams, maybe a Penta, maybe a Dominic Mysterio. Happy with all of these options? If any of those happen, they're not going to be mad. One name, I guess, that we didn't mention as a possibility of winning the Money in the Bank, Mr. Jey Uso. But where I will mention his name is because he's our entrance theme that we're playing right now because we're halfway through the show. Yeah, you, Jimmy and Jay, the Uso. RJ,
Hey man, they think it's a game out here. Man, they don't even know what time it is right now. You gotta talk to these spooks, Big Jim. Hey, main event, on we toes.
Come on,
talk to them.
Come on,
they ain't ready.
Hey, 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 this right here is a warning shot.
And you're back to Wrestling Roundup on Free FM, RFM, and MP. I'm Grady, he's Josh. Still looking ahead, second half of the year. We talked Money in the Bank. Maybe now Survivor Series, maybe? Or is there anyone that you want to talk about that you think might be heating up in that second half of the year? Some potential world champions, some potential next mid-card champions, potential breakout stars, call-ups from NXT. Is there anybody who comes to mind when I throw these topics around vaguely?
Yeah. I think one of the things that I think that there could be a strong chance for this year is maybe, again, well, because we played Jay's, I think I could see Jay becoming King of the Ring and then winning the WWE Championship off of Cody. I don't want to see it, but I could see it, and it would be a bigger part of the story for the Bloodline. To have them both have both championships, and then we get to where Roman loses his, and maybe Jay still has it, and it causes friction. I think this could be the year that Sami Zayn wins a world championship. He could walk out of SummerSlam. He could legitimately walk out of SummerSlam with the World Heavyweight Championship, with the WWE Championship, if for somehow, some reason, Oba does win the King of the Ring. But yeah, it's one of those cases where it's like there are people that I could see winning a world title. But it's not, there's not going to be a lot of options with it because of who has the titles right now. Like, I wouldn't see Bron Breakker winning the World Heavyweight Championship because I don't think it makes any sense for the storylines right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I would see him winning a world title. It's just the matter of who has the championships right now.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting one because as soon as the title's on Roman Reigns, my mind sort of fades off of him. I think there's a few people, maybe if you want to reignite the Seth piece, you want to commit to Jacob Fatu, you want to do a Jey Uso dethroning him again, or you do eventually want to have Obafemi go hard at him, be at SummerSlam, be at WrestleMania. He's kind of got a really small pool of potential people who could take the title off him. I look at the WWE Championship, Cody Rhodes currently holding at time of recording, and yeah, I'm sitting here going, you know, Gunther's chasing him. He could take it. Sami Zayn's chasing him. He could take it. A Trick Williams with the briefcase could take it from him. If you did build him correctly, probably too soon for him, Royce Keyes could jump up. You could have Randy Orton return, pose a threat, claim his next championship. I feel like a lot more open options with Cody Rhodes and the WWE Championship, and as soon as any of those happen, to shuffle the title off to Cody and onto any of those other people I listed, then the options start multiplying yet again. You know, what if Trick did win the briefcase, cash it in, get the title, and now I'm thinking, oh, Carmelo could be going up there, you know, this next person could be. And so SmackDown feels like that opportunity land for the next world champion.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I think it also opens up Damian Priest. It opens up The Miz. Maybe it's some strange fellow. It could open up a Matt Cardona.
Yeah.
But yeah, at this point, it's like Cody has, while he does have more options than Roman, it's not many. It's only a handful. Whereas with Roman, it's like two or three guys that you really think could beat him for the title right now. And not much more.
Yeah, I guess with Cody's options, it's Cody's options opening options. I think if Roman loses the title to any of his options, he's probably still chasing it back again, or trying to do something, or the bloodline is still going to be involved in that feud. If Cody lost his title to, say, Sami Zayn, I feel like he'd take a bit more of a back step and we'd have more options open up for Sami Zayn.
Yeah, with Sami, one option would be Drew McIntyre, because he's never beaten Drew. That would be an option. It would be so yeah, it's just those, so it's going to be several situations where it's, there are options. It's just the question is, who is champion at the end of the year? Because that shifts all the options. With the women, for example, I have a hard time picking people, because it's like, as you said in the previous segment, it's like the same six people hold the titles at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's like, I could see them giving, I could see Lash Legend winning the Rumble. I could see JC, as I said earlier, I could see JC Jane winning the briefcase.
Yeah.
But it's always going to be, well, Rhea Ripley is the women's champion. You can't bet against her. And it's going to be like, almost like, well, currently the women's champion for Raw is Liv. Odds are she probably doesn't survive through the end of the year, unless they want to do Roxanne Perez versus her at WrestleMania next year for the title. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess like looking, like I have the Wikipedia page open for the list of WWE personnel right now. You got Liv Morgan, right, as champion. I will read out every woman on the Raw roster, right? You've got Bayley, maybe. Becky Lynch, maybe. Ivy Nile, no shot. Io Sky, maybe. Lyra Valkyria, don't see her getting the world title. Maxine, nah. Natty, probably missed her window. Raquel Rodriguez, outside shot. Roxanne Perez, only if Liv Morgan is still the champion. Sol Ruka, dealing with the Intercontinental Championship at the moment. Options are kind of thin.
Yeah. And I guess that also comes back to play in with our current tag team champions.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, they're not going to be tag team champions anymore.
Yeah.
That does open up the potential for like a Paige at winning the world title.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Bri winning a world title, but that would be an option.
Ironically, though, I do see Nikki potentially.
Yeah. But yeah, I think. So I do think we do need to keep Paige in mind in the next 6 months, because I do think when she gets to be solo, I think they will push her to the top of the card.
Mm-hmm. But like, here's my problem as well. I look down the NXT women's roster. We did just pull up a whole bunch of the women. We pulled up JC, etc. And I look at it now, and I look through it, and I don't see, barring Zarya, but in 12 months, I don't see any world champions on it just yet. And so if we're talking about people who are options in the next 6 months to be the next women's world champion, the next WWE women's champion, I don't see anybody getting called up and getting themselves in that position. You can say, Kalani Jordan, Kendall Gray is kind of like the top of the division at the moment, alongside Lola Vice, Thea Hale, Zarya, Tatum Paxley. I don't see them popping up and taking out a Rhea Ripley, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's where it is like they still have some developing to do. And then once they do come up, they're going to have to connect with the crowd. Mm-hmm. That it's going to take time. It's not going to be a situation where it's like an Asuka or a Bayley that immediately pops in and then immediately becomes a top talent. It is going to have to be something to build up. So with the talent that's currently there. And I think that's the idea behind it too, as well.
Yeah. I think SmackDown's looking in terms of their division for their women's division. I know we're running out of time. I'm going to get there. Looking a little bit healthier. The problem for them is just, they have a person whose initials are RR standing at the top of the division. Because if I run down, Alexa Bliss, Blake Munro, Charlotte Flair, Chelsea Green is a comedy option, JC Jane, Jordan Grace, Lash Legend, Nia Jax, Tiffany Stratton, these are all people who could potentially be a women's world champion, or that world champion level. But they've got to get through Rhea, and Rhea is just such a statue at the top of the division that it's going to be hard for somebody to break her down, right? We're talking Charlotte Flair possibly winning Queen of the Ring and doing it at SummerSlam. That's kind of it, unless there's a Money in the Bank briefcase involved, which we talked about potentially JC Jane getting. Someone's got to crack that Rhea Ripley championship, and once it's on one of these other women, now again, much like Cody, those options open back up to these other people.
Yeah, that's what it is. With the women, it is a lot more options available in SmackDown side, because again, the SmackDown division is just vastly superior to the Raw division because of the names. But yeah, it is Rhea holding a glass ceiling on everybody else until somebody decides to shatter it, and then maybe we can go a while without Rhea Ripley depending having a title or competing for a title at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think you described it right. Someone's got to shatter that ceiling of Rhea Ripley. If it is a JC Jane with the Money in the Bank briefcase, that opens up half a billion options. Anybody could challenge for the WWE Women's Championship at that point, and I'd be excited for it. If we're talking next 6 months, we've got like 30 seconds. I don't know if Rhea loses it to anybody other than Charlotte off of this roster in its current condition.
I would say JC Jane if briefcase.
That's true. If briefcase. And then Liv Morgan on the other side of things. I don't know if she's losing it to anybody. Maybe Sky Perez? Kind of it. Maybe Lynch. Maybe Lynch. Alrighty, well then, that is the end of our look ahead at the second half. Who do we think might win the briefcases? Who do we think might be the next world champions across all of the divisions? It's been great talking to you.
Maybe.
You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/WrestlingRNDUp. Our Twitter page, twitter.com/WrestlingRNDUp. Our YouTube page, youtube.com/WrestlingRNDUp. And we will catch you next week. And the sky's the limit, got no time to waste. Tonight's the big go, strike quick but creep slow. The competition is absent the moment that we show. Countdown from three, go, press X to reload. Deadly still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning, we're fearless and crowd stunning. Never, ever... This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.